Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured. Not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Mark Olley, you were sharing with us details about this farmer who finds debris scattered over a large area. Have you made a guess about how big this object must have been to leave that much debris over such a region?
Yeah, we could estimate it from the forest that was removed. It was the Forestry Commission that removed it. They claimed it was wind damage.
So,
like you say, clearly it was definitely part of this attempt to cover things up. Yeah, the forest actually gives away the size of this thing, because the cut through the trees was around about 20, 25 feet wide. So I don't know what that is in metres. It's that divided by three. Yeah, it's quite a significant size thing that cut down and hit the tops of the trees, shearing a lot of them off and snapping a lot of them and scattering, you know, woodwork out with the debris, which, you know, they didn't bother to clean up. They just left that. So, yeah, it was quite a sizable thing. Yeah, quite large.
So the investigators, I mean, one of the first things they do, I would think, is look to see if there's any evidence that a plane has crashed, right? That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Well, that was the natural assumption. That was the assumption that the farmer made when he came out. He sort of had a look, and that's why he phoned the police and ended up with the Air Force there, the MOD, looking for a plane. But there wasn't one. You know, your instinct is to go look for this thing stuck in the ground. That's how I sort of got involved, because when Gary sort of contacted me and we discussed it after a UFO conference, because we were both speakers there, he said, well, do you want to come and see if you can dig anything up? So I'm like, well, okay. You know, something like a Spitfire hits the ground at 600 miles an hour. It embeds into the ground and you can go find bits of it. But this was totally not like that. It's a limestone area, so there's only, you know, a couple of feet of soil on top of the ground, so nothing had embedded. And considering the amount of debris, the sheer quantity of it, how anything could lose that amount of its outer fuselage, its outer shell, and still be able to fly off is pretty amazing. I mean, we are talking, you know, late 70s, early 1980s here for this type of technology. So nobody seemed to know anything at the time about anything that was capable of doing that.
All right, so this forestry folks come out to chop down the forest and take it down. Are there still samples that were found even after that happens?
Well, no, not really. Once that had gone, I mean, it was funny because Gary did actually go back out to the site and he said there was still a huge yellow bulldozer parked in the middle of this what had been the forest. So they very clearly did the best cleanup operation they possibly could. But of course it was too late because Gary had this case with these six fragments of metal and two fragments of foil in, which is the point where he contacted me, because when we decided there was nothing to dig up, I was like, well, that's my job over and done with. And then he just sort of threw in at the end and he said, ah, but I've got some pieces of the crash debris in my garage. And I'm like, oh, okay. now we're talking. And I sort of dove in. That was 2008 when we did the documentary, the original Europe's Roswell documentary on the crash, which you can now find on YouTube. It's on Drake, Michigan. There's an hour-long documentary. But that was for 25 years of the crash. Of course, now we're 40 years since the crash. Right. But it's given us a chance to re-examine the case in the light of, you know, any new evidence we can generate. And we have got quite a bit.
So back in that era, when you first are handling these samples, they're in your hand, right? What are you thinking about it?
I just took one look at this material and I just thought, I have absolutely no idea what I'm looking at. Gary got a similar response from the folks that he spoke to. There's a couple of ladies worked in aeroplanes. They had a look in the aerospace industry. They had no idea what it was. Then he moved further up and a friend of his who was a scientist didn't know what it was. And then, so he moved a little bit further. He managed to get a piece of it through to British Aerospace, which is our, you know, military and domestic developers, if you like. And they sent it back and they said, oh, well, it looks like duralumin, but we haven't really got any idea what this is either. There's a rubbery coating on it we can't identify. There's some resin we can't identify. And we'd very much like to know how this was made. So at that point, anybody that could have told us what it was kind of disavowed it and said, well, you know, we have no idea what we're looking at here. And that's where it stopped. I mean, that's where the investigation had parked, if you like, in the 80s and 90s. And then coming into the 2000s, we obviously brought that back to life. We did the documentary. We highlighted the case. And then we sort of started moving that forward. And that assessment of the materials turned out to only be partially true. It's not entirely true.
Well, let's jump into that then. So I saw an article about your book before I dove into the book itself, and it said that there had been two labs in the U.S. that examined this stuff. Do you want to share with what their findings were, or you want to hold that off?
Yeah, absolutely. That's sort of ongoing, if you like. There were two labs. Philip Mantle, Flying Disc Press, who is the publisher, is fairly well known in the UFO community. He's been around a tremendously long time, far better known than I am. And he identified two labs, one actually in Australia and one in the USA, which we decided was probably the best way to go. So independently of each laboratory, without them knowing what we were doing, we sent one metal sample off to Australia and another metal sample off to the US, which is the first time that's ever happened. Gary's very protective of the material he has. So to release samples for analysis, we were quite amazed that he was willing to do that. Anyway, we sent it off. Australian analysis came back and basically said, yes, it's aluminium, but it's not duralumin. It's aluminium foam. Now, I had absolutely no idea what aluminium foam was. And they said, well, you can mix aluminium with a reactive substance. It produces a foam, which then hardens at room temperature. And you can use that to make things. You know, you can produce sheet metal, et cetera, et cetera. But their analysis came back and said, well, this clearly, it's not one of theirs. It's one of ours. We know what this is. We're familiar with the reaction. And by the way, it looks like it's got some American kind of resin glue stuck on it. Well, almost at the same time, we get the report back from America. America comes back and says, we have absolutely no idea what this is. It literally, you open the report, it just says substance, unknown. And it turns out that it's over 94% lanthium or lanthanum, which is an exotic metal. It's a rare earth metal. It's extremely hard to extract. But it's very common. It's all over the place. It's a bit like quartz. It's, you know, it's in galaxies, meteorites, planets, stars, upper atmosphere. The whole of the planet's full of it, you know. But it costs literally hundreds of millions of dollars to get any quantity of this stuff out, to extract it. It's really difficult to get hold of. And they said, oh, and by the way, the glue, we have no idea what the glue is. So it's clearly not an American glue. It turns out the two pieces we'd sent were actually different. One piece, which looks like internal shell, that's the aluminium sheet, aluminium based. And then the other stuff, which looks like the external shell, that's the stuff that's made from lanthanum. But then you've then got to engineer that information backwards. You can't just leave it there, and you've got to say, okay, they would have had to have developed that in the late 1970s to be able to then have something flying in the early 1980s with that kind of technology on it. So that's a mystery. We've got absolutely no idea what's going on there. And lanthium being expensive now, it's difficult to get hold of now. Back then, getting hold of 6-foot sheets of this would have been unthinkable. And then you've got to look at this and think, okay, it's pretty much identical to everything we know about the debris from the Roswell crash. So that takes it all the way back to 1947. So what are we looking at here? You know, you've only really got three alternatives. It's either one of ours, and we developed it, and it's something that's come out of the Second World War technology race. It's one of theirs, in which case it is a proper full-blown UFO. You know, it's come from elsewhere. It's extraterrestrial. Or it's the third option. It's back-engineered. It's something in the middle. And at the moment, that's where we're going with this. We're trying to push into those results, if you like, as an issue. We're trying to find out exactly what's going on here. But that's where we are.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Can you discuss ideas, possibilities of what might have caused the crash? Was there a weather disturbance? Was there military activity in the area? Anything like that?
Well, there's sufficient people involved in this to have records of that. So we did a Freedom of Information request to the MOD, which didn't really help at all, because it just came back and said, nope, we have no idea, no records. Apparently nothing was lost. You know, nothing was on radar. We didn't see anything, which is pretty much that kind of cover-up playbook that you would expect. But no, apparently nothing happened. Obviously, at the time, nobody heard anything. Nobody saw anything. It happened at night in the middle of nowhere. So that's not helpful either. And then you've got this issue of the idea of, well, did it implode or explode? Was it the fact that it had slowed down, so it was going at the wrong speed? And when it was impacted, when it was hit by these trees, it broke up like eggshell. Because Gary noted when he tried to break some of this material up, he said if you attack it, you stamp on it, you hit it, you try and chisel it and cut it, it pushes back. You can't actually break the material up. But if you go at it really slowly, if you get hold of it with a set of pliers and just wiggle it slowly and do it at very low pressure, you can take pieces off it. It will come apart. So it looks like it. That's what had happened. Whatever had hit the trees had done it out of its normal comfort zone, if you like, and that's why it had broken up. So some of the pieces are slightly curved, so you know it could have exploded. They're kind of concave or convex. So maybe that had something to do with the way it broke up. But the main bulk of it, the majority of it, wasn't there. You know, it had scattered all of this debris and then vanished. So yeah, there's something of that sort of ilk is going on here. So there's no like silver disc with alien bodies hanging out of it stuck in the trees. It's a shame. I wish there was.
You filed a FOIA request with the Ministry of Defense. What about with the forestry folks? I'd be interested to see if there's a paper trail that details why they decided to go after it and cut the forest down.
Well, yeah, that goes back to Gary. Gary did a lot of the legwork on that because he's a local. Obviously, he's got absolutely every right to do that and pursue things with the authorities. He drew a blank with the Forestry Commission. They weren't willing to go any further than claiming it was wind damage. But he did discover that there is actually quite a big triangular area where these flying craft are known. There are other witnesses of things coming up out of the ocean in Cardigan Bay and flying inland, and they zip up and down the valleys. And technically speaking, the Mersey Valley, where I live, is the most northern part of that valley system. And then he started speaking to the Coast Guard, and they said, yeah, we've got a number for the MOD. If we see anything coming up out of the bay, if we see any lights or anything, we just phone them and report them. So it's part of a bigger, you know, much bigger kind of thing that's going on in Wales. Wales is quite a clear area, but these things are zipping up and down the valleys and flying around. They're doing it in North Wales. To some extent, they're doing it in South Wales as well, but those encounters are quite different. And Gary is an eyewitness. He's seen many things up in the northern part of Wales. So it is part of a bigger picture. And he, like I say, he did the due diligence and he contacted as many folks as he could and he unearthed a lot of evidence, but not directly pertinent to this particular impact, which again has another commonality with Roswell. It's incredibly difficult to pin down anything that's directly connected to this as an incident.
So this area has a history of UFO activity and USO activity, I guess, craft coming out of the ocean. How far back does that go?
Oh well, we know it. We know it goes back at least to the 1970s. I mean, please don't get this confused. There was the famous Berwyn Mountain incident, which everyone seems to know about.
Right.
Obviously, that's 1974, so you've gone back a decade there already. Prior to that, there are a great deal of eyewitness accounts that take you into the 1960s. Obviously, I've got my accounts, which I've thrown into the melting pot. Well, they're 70s and 80s. So I would imagine that you've got fairly reliable witnesses going back as far as the 1950s. Gary might actually take it back a bit further. He's an older generation to me, so the people he's spoken to and the locals that live there, they can remember things happening just after the Second World War. So again, you're sort of in the same ballpark, if you like, as things that are occurring at places like Roswell. There's so many overlaps in what we're seeing here, which is why we were bold enough to kind of step out and label the book the way we have. I think if people buy it and read it, I mean, it's only a small book, but by hell, it packs a punch. It goes at quite a speed as well. You know, you can sit there on the veranda with a coffee and sort of, you know, digest it in a matter of 2 or 3 hours. It's worth it because the comparisons are many and varied. They really are. The other thing I should say as well is it is a show and tell book. You'll notice that every photo, every bit of the report, everything we had available, we threw everything at it because we want to get that information out there. You know, it's part of this You know, we're not exactly kicking down the door of disclosure, but we're certainly scratching at it. You know, we're kind of saying to the military, hi there, you know, this is in the public domain. We've already got this.
I'd be a little nervous about where I kept the remaining pieces. I would think that you and Gary would be very careful about that.
Well, it's a good point, actually. There's a story there. Gary was very clever because he broke one of these pieces up and made key rings. And he gave the key rings out to people he knew that were connected with news and the media, as well as other ufologists. And basically, somewhere in the February, March of the year when he recovered this, he got a knock on the door, and he said he could see these two black figures, and he opened the door. Sure enough, two men in black, dressed in black, black ties, hats, dark glasses, you know, incomprehensible passes. And he said just parked up his close were a couple of, you know, blacked out SUVs with no number plates. And they basically said, can we have our metal back? Can we have our material back? And Gary just said, no, you can't. And they said, why? He said, because I've done this, I've broken them up into key rings, handed them out. And he said, Gary said, if you ever come here again, well, I'm going to tell all these people to release all this to the media. You've got to remember, this is 1980s. So anyway, these dark guys, we just went, got in the cars and drove off. That was it. It was, you know, fait accompli. But the stuff he's got in his case, he doesn't keep at home. He keeps it in a lockup. And it very rarely does that venture out. So he's very protective of it.
All right.
You know, rightly so. You know,
absolutely.
It's good physical evidence. You know, we can actually go, look, we've got it, you know.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway. The Great American Race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.